Well, welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got an hour to go here with Uri Geller. Get your broken and defunct watches and clocks ready. He's going to conduct his experiment. I got to tell you, it works. It really works. And we're going to take phone calls with you and Uri. And, of course, I've got a couple more questions to talk with him about as well when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Uri Geller with us again. Uri's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's his name, urigeller.com. And in a moment, we'll do our experiment with the watches and clocks. Uri, you bought an island near Scotland. What's going on there?
I'll tell you in a moment. But first of all, I want to make something clear. You know that I get hundreds of emails a day.
Yes.
I try to answer them all. By the way, on my website, you'll also find my email address. I'm already getting emails because of the show from Jacksonville, Florida. I'm just getting emails because
beautiful.
Your show is so huge. It's not only listened in America, but probably worldwide, correct,
yes,
George?
It sure is. You can hear us in Tel Aviv, Russia, you name it. We're everywhere, Uri.
No, your show is great because I'll give you a few compliments because you're just a fantastic broadcaster. You have a credible aura around you and about you that people love. And you explore. You're open-minded. You're not closed-minded.
Yes.
And you know, science and scientists should be all open-minded to discover and dare enter the unknown and the mysteries of the universe. But when I get emails, mainly from teenagers, they all want me to teach them how to bend a spoon. And I say, no. Spoons and watches and all that's in the past. That's passé. Instead of bending spoons, I want you to focus on school. I want you to become a positive thinker.
Yeah.
I want you to believe in yourself. I tell them, go to university after you know, you graduate. Learn, absorb, never smoke, never touch drugs, always think of success. This is really my message today. So, you know, I left the paranormal quite a long time ago. And today, you know, the greatest thinkers of the 20th century, they all said we only use, 10% of our brain?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we can use much more because our mind power is, George, is like an iceberg with 90% lying hidden beneath the surface. Hidden, but it's still there, and it's awesomely massive. And I try to teach people how to activate that. What is consciousness? And I call it, or we call the hidden 90% of our mind power, the subconscious. I don't know, you probably spoke a million times about the subconscious mind.
Oh, sure.
But the subconscious is like a subcontinent of, let's say, Alexander's days, a vast treasure house waiting to be explored and utilized. And our subconscious is always listening, George, listening and absorbing, soaking up experience like a sponge. So I tell people, talk to your subconscious. Talk to that 90%, the submerged 90% of your mind. Tell it again and again. I'm strong. I'm relaxed. I'm happy. Because, you know, your subconscious will absorb this message and make it true. I'm a huge believer, by the way, in the law of attraction. And so I'm sure you are too, right?
I sure am, absolutely.
Anyhow, so this is really my message today. Positivity, love, believe in yourself. So the island, let's talk about
I like. And by
island.
The way, do you know when you were on Johnny Carson, you were 26 going on 27? Where did the time go?
Yeah, we both ask this question, don't we?
But you know what? You still look 40. I mean, you look amazing.
Thank you. You know, I believe that first of all, let's all understand that you cannot stop the aging process, but you can slow it down. I'm a positive thinker. I'm a vegetarian or vegan, I would say. I exercise. I take vitamins. I just try to lead a healthy life.
Good for you.
And you have to all our listeners, go and have a medical checkup at least, once or twice a year. And always think positive. Don't surround yourself with negative people. Think positive. Believe in yourself. And I think that that gives you longevity. And if you're not happy at your work, where you're working right now, explore other places. You know, George, the successful people in life are the ones who knew how to capture an opportunity that passes us by every day. Every
so
day
true.
We get opportunities that we don't, most people just don't feel them pass you by. And the most important thing, and this is a very powerful element, is when I wake up in the morning, every day in the morning, I put myself in an attitude of gratitude. Remember that again. Put yourself in an attitude of gratitude. Because we are the architects of our own lives. And I always say that if you can go there with your mind, you can go there with your body. And whatever you can visualize, you can materialize. And there's nothing that you cannot be, do, or have, because again, I'm reminding you, you're the architect of your own life. And if you can teach yourself how to put yourself in that attitude of gratitude, you will feel a happiness. And gosh, happiness is everything. It's emotional, it's more good feeling, it's more relaxed, it's more resilient, you're less envious, you have happier memories, your personality is affected, you're less materialistic, you're less self-centered, you're more optimistic, you're more spiritual, you increase self-esteem. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on. But if you have any questions, email me and I'll try to answer.
Perfect.
You. Okay, now let's talk about my island.
Yes, near Scotland, huh?
Yeah, the reason I bought the island is really freaky and bizarre. First of all, don't think that this is some kind of a multi-million dollar island. It's not. It's a tiny kind of a little island off North Berwick, which is very near Edinburgh. And the reason I bought it is a silly reason, but here it is. When England played Scotland, and I'm talking about football now, soccer.
Soccer.
Yes?
Soccer here, yeah.
Yeah, England were concerned, although they were better than Scotland, they were concerned that they might lose to Scotland. So what they did is they called me up, they put me in a helicopter, and I flew around Wembley. Wembley is a huge stadium. It's a national stadium of England. And I could hardly see the players when the match started. England played Scotland. But I heard the match in my headphones. And then suddenly I hear that Gary McAllister, who was the striker, you know, the guy who puts in goals most, gets a penalty, which means that's 90% they would score. Scotland would score a goal. And from the helicopter, believe it or not, I moved the ball away from his foot. Puts the ball down. I scream in the helicopter, 1, 2, 3, move, and the ball moves away. This has been documented by the BBC. It's filmed. And if you get on my website, go to those 18 most fascinating moments in British history of football, you'll see the ball moving away. So you can imagine the next day, I received thousands and thousands of hate letters and emails from Scottish
people. Of course, yeah, they wanted you on this one.
Yeah, you know, it's okay to inspire and motivate a team, but to interfere and move a ball away with the power of the mind is a no-no. It's actually illegal. So I had to give back something to the Scottish people. So I decided to buy a Scottish island, which makes me kind of part Scottish.
All right. Have they welcomed you with open arms again?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now, listen, this island, it's called Lamb Island. And it's very mysterious and enigmatic. First of all, I don't even know how to start, but the island is like a volcanic outcrop in the Firth and Forth, which is north of Edinburgh, and it is of scientific interest. This is why I was quite surprised and actually shocked that Scotland sold me the island, that I could buy the island, because it mirrors, now listen to this, it mirrors the Great Pyramids of Scotland, which mirror the layout of the pyramids of Giza
Wow.
near Cairo. And I'm fascinated by the connection between the pyramids and these islands. You know that the connection has been known for centuries, George. You can read about it in a book. It's a 15th century manuscript called the Scoticron. It's by an abbot in Scotland. Now, when I heard that the island was for sale, I just felt a strong and intuitive urge to buy it. And the more I delved into the history and the archaeological lore which surrounds it, the more certain I became that this is one of the most significant sites in Britain. And I can go on and on and on, but the myth says that 5,000 years ago, the Egyptians sailed to North Europe, and they moored outside Lamb Island. The Queen Scota, who was the wife of one of the pharaohs, she buried treasure on that island. And I believe that story, and I believe also that Scotland was called after her because her name was Scota.
You're looking for the treasure, aren't you?
Absolutely. Another very weird synchronicity is that you remember the famous book called Treasure Island?
Oh, sure.
Written by Stevenson. Well, he lived right on North Berwick Beach.
Uh-huh.
So when he wrote the book, he might have just looked at that island.
You might have gold doubloons there, huh?
Yes, I am also a great believer in ley lines, and I believe that from my island, there are ley lines straight to Roslyn Chapel, which is just very nearby, and straight to the pyramids. So, yes, that's why I've got the island.
That's fantastic. Now, would you like to do, we've got some time before the break, would you like to take some calls now, or would you like to do the experiment?
No, let's take the calls, but let me just instruct our listeners worldwide and in America. Again, go and get your grandfather's watch, pocket watch, your grandmother's analog watch, everything that is not working, wake-up clocks, you know, alarm clocks, old ones, 30, 40, 50-year-old ones, broken computers, if you have laptops that are not working, things of that nature, bring them to the radio set because it will fascinate you what is going to about to happen in your own home. If you're driving cars, don't take your eyes off the road, but think of something that there is that you have in the car that is not working. So when we come back after the telephone calls, we're going to make this experiment, and then you'll be able to let us know what happened.
All right, let's start by
going. A call or two.
We'll do that. We'll have a break. We'll do the experiment and finish up with calls on our next segment. Let's go to Monique in Monroe, New York. First-time caller. Hi, Monique. You're on with Uri Geller.
Yes, hi. I called for the experiment.
Okay.
I still would like to ask you a question. I'm a volunteer, and I'm psychic. But because I'm afraid of things I see, I would like to learn something what you're doing so I can help people.
Okay. Look, first of all, you shouldn't be scared of any psychic powers that you have or intuitive forces that you possess because we're all telepathic. We're all psychics. I mean, everyone has experience of deja vu, that you go to a place that you've never been before and it looks to you familiar. And you say, wow, I've been here before, but you haven't. Or someone that you haven't spoken to for a year or two, suddenly you think about that person and they call you that day. I'm a great believer in the power of the mind, and I'm not a healer. I get tons of emails from people who are not well, sick. I tell them immediately, if you're not well, go to a doctor, go to a medical doctor. Not that I don't believe in healing powers, but I think that medicine still is the number one cure today. And how to help people, just be nice to people, smile a lot, be positive to them, and they will feel your energy. So thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, Monique. Next up, we have John in Oceanside, California. John, go all. You're up on the air with us.
Good evening.
Hi, John.
Nah, when I got put on hold, you answered the question already. Spiritual, everything, open your mind, and it comes back to you, and it goes back out positive, correct?
Exactly, exactly, John. You said it, because, you know, we are all energy beings. Albert Einstein, in 1924, came up with an amazing scientific quote, E equals MC squared, in which he proved to the world scientifically that everything is made from energy. You, me, the phone I'm holding, the table I'm sitting next to, the universe, all energy, energy, energy. And energy cannot be destroyed. He further on went to prove that energy cannot be destroyed. That's why I believe in life after death. If energy cannot be destroyed, you have to ask the question, what happens to your soul when we die? What happens to your spirit? And consciousness is amazing because it's kind of reality. It's quantum mechanics. It's quantum entanglement. Are we really, do we really exist? Am I really talking to you, George, or to John, or mm-hmm. am I creating you? I mean, consciousness is a state of quality of awareness or of being aware of an external object or something within oneself. And it has been defined as some kind of a powerful subconsciousness that we all possess. It's the ability to experience or to feel wakefulness, having a sense of selfhood and the executive control of the mind. And we all have it because we all control our minds. So like you said, if you think positive and you send that message to the universe sends it back to you. And that is, you answered your own question. So, John, thanks very much for calling us.
Gina Maria in the state of Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, Gina. Go ahead.
Hi. Peace and love. God bless to everyone and everything everywhere.
You too.
Thank you. So Uri, hi, hon. I've had many experiences, you know, of all different kinds, spiritual experiences. But there was one UFO experience in Granite Falls, Washington, where the ship was hovering over a gas station, triangle shape, and it was broad daylight, and it was probably 30, 40 feet up in the air, and most people didn't see it. Only one car at a time that drove in was allowed to see it, and then they parked under it, and then they would leave, and then, like, I pulled under it, and nobody else saw it. And I was wondering if you could explain this to me, and if you think it was alien ship or if you think this was some sort of government one.
Look, Gina, I wasn't there, so it's very hard for me to decipher exactly what occurred. But I can tell you this, that we were driving in the Sinai Desert, I'm talking about now, 1970, and like you, we saw a ship in the middle of a daylight, and there it was, just motionless, hanging in the sky. And only I saw it, Andre Puharic saw it, the driver of the Jeep saw it, and another soldier sitting behind me. No one else saw it. Incredible. So it's very difficult to know whether it was an alien's craft or was it some kind of a government vehicle. Because, you know, the government study extraterrestrial intelligence. They know they exist. Gosh, George, you had countless and countless of radio shows about Area 51.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I'm sure you interviewed Annie Jacobson, who mm-hmm. is an amazing writer. She's a Pulitzer nominee. And she wrote about it. She wrote a book recently called Phenomenon, which I urge people to read. But I'm a huge believer in extraterrestrial life. If you are, you know, if you ask, if you make a poll right now in America, and you ask how many people believe in UFOs, I think it'll be like 60, 70, even 80%, because we see them. Now, I haven't seen an alien in front of me, but my friend was John Lennon. And
hold on right there, Uri. We'll get that story with John Lennon and you when we come back. We'll do the exercise with the clock and watches, and then we'll wrap up with final phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll be back in a moment with Uri Geller to finish up chatting with him, taking your calls, of course. He's also got a museum that he's working on. We'll talk with you about that. And welcome back. We're with Uri Geller, our final segment here. Get your watches and clocks and broken things ready because we're going to go into that. Uri, we're talking about UFOs, and you were mentioning John Lennon, if you want to finish that story.
Yeah, when I was living in New York, one day John wakes me up and tells me, Uri, come quickly. I got to meet you. I have something to show you. Something happened. So we met halfway between his apartment, which was in the Dakota building, and place. And he then pulls out a very strange-looking egg-shaped material. It was nothing. I've never seen anything like this before. Very small, and he hands it to me. It's very, very heavy, and I feel that it's not man-made or it's not earth-made. And he tells me that he was lying in bed, and suddenly there was a sphere of light, and which immediately reminded the sphere of light that I saw, experienced when I was five. And he says an alien hand. He described it that way, kind of got out of this sphere, an alien hand protruded out and gave him this object. And I immediately said, you know, come on, John, were you on something? I said, no, it really happened. So ever since that day that he gave me this object, I carry it all the time with me. People ask me, email me, why don't you have it tested? Why don't you give it to science to validate it? And I say, look, I don't want to be disappointed to find out that it's made in Taiwan. I want to believe in John Lennon's words.
I love
so
it.
That's it. Okay, now let's do the experiment.
Let's do that, and then we'll finish up with calls after that. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you want to take the calls now?
No. Go. No. Do your experiment.
Okay. So we it's very lighthearted. It's entertaining. But if you have watches now in your hand that belong to your grandmother, your father, and so on, wind them up. They have a little winder. Just quickly wind them up. Although they're broken, wind them up. If you have alarm clocks, wind them up too. And I want you to hold them in your hands and truly believe that this is going to happen. When I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, I'm going to shout out the word work. And you will do it with me, George.
All
Everybody
right.
at home in America, around the world, will shout work. And we'll do it 3 times. If you have a spoon, by the way, or fork or keys, place them also near you or on the radio. And don't be, by the way, don't be alarmed if suddenly the key flies off or the spoon flies off, because I've had these type of reports. Now, when we shouted 1, 2, 3, the spoon fell, it jumped off, and things, kind of spooky things happen. Now, are you all ready? Here we go. So you wound the watches up, put them in your hands, close your hand over them, the palm of your hand, close it, and we'll go. 1, 2, 3, work.
Work.
One more time. George, I want you to shout out the word with more passion, the word work with more passion. All of you at home. 1, 2, 3, work.
Work.
One more time. The last time. 1, 2, 3,
work.
And now, listen to me carefully. Open your hands and look at the faces of your watches. If they have a second hand, is it ticking? Did it start moving? If you don't have a second hand, lift the watch or the clock to your ear and listen. Listen carefully. Do you hear it ticking? Now, if your watch started, or if you anything in your house that has been broken, that was broken for a long time, is working now, or if anything bizarre or weird happened, if the key bent, if the spoon moved, let George know. Now, if nothing happened, don't be disappointed, because this doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen to everyone. But if something did occur in your hand or in your home or in your car, if you had a broken lighter, if something did not work in your car and it's working now, George, how do people let you know if something did happen?
They've got my email, george@coasttocoastam.com, and then we'll get it to Uri.
Yeah, it'll be great to hear what happened to all of you.
Super.
But the museum, when we came back to live in Israel and we moved into our little apartment in Old Jaffa, a real estate agent showed me an incredible property that is, well, the foundation of this property is over 1,000 years old.
Wow.
Can you believe that? 1,000 years old. If you get on my website, which is urigeller.com, that's the first thing that comes up, the museum. So I bought the property, and I'm going to create an Uri Geller Museum. And what I mean by that is I received amazing gifts throughout the last 50 years. I used to work with Salvador Dali, so he gave me sculptures. He also gave me a rock crystal sphere that belonged to Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, my
and
God.
Leonardo da Vinci painted a painting called Salvatore Mundi, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is holding that very same rock crystal that Salvador Dali gave me. And
that's
by the way, the painting was sold for $450 million to the Abu Dhabi Louvre. There will be items from David Bowie, John Lennon, Michael Jackson, who was my great friend, Elvis Presley, my Cadillac. You know, I own a Fleetwood Brougham, 1976 Fleetwood Brougham, which I bought to show off in my heydays in 1976 in New York. But I riveted later on, decades later, I riveted 2,000 spoons to its body. So it actually became a sculpture. It's a sculpture, and it stood in the Museum of Israel. It was in the Museum of the Visionary Modern Museum in Baltimore. It went to dozens of museums around the world. So the Cadillac will be there. But really the highlight, the amazing thing that the museum will have is outside the museum, I'm building the largest bent spoon in the world. It'll be 18 meters long, and it will weigh 10 tons. And that everyone will want to photograph the spoon.
That's a big spoon. That's a 54-foot spoon plus.
Yeah. And you know that my museum is right next to where Napoleon, you know, there was a siege of Jaffa, which was fought from from the 3rd to the 7th of March, 1799, between France and the Ottoman Empire. And, of course, the French were led by Napoleon, and they captured all Jaffa. But what I discovered inside this structure, which will be my museum, is even more far out. I doused. And intuitively, I found under the ground an old ancient soap factory. The Muslims 500 years ago or 800 years ago did not buy soap from Europe because it was made from pig oil.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
This is one of the first soap factories of olive oil soap. And the archaeologists who saw it just freaked out because they've never seen anything preserved so well.
What's the target date, Uri, for the museum?
November 11th of 2019. But now I was asked, now hold on here, because this is going to be really freaky and we can end the show with this and take a few questions. I've been asked, are you ready for this? I've been asked to find the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, my gosh, that would be amazing. Now, some people think it's in a church in Ethiopia.
The captivity of Jerusalem in the 6th century BCE, you know, the whereabouts of the Ark of the Covenant has been a mystery. I mean, it is described in the Old Testament, in the Bible, that the Ark served as a visible sign of God's presence to the Israelites. Now, according to the Bible, the Ark was last known to have rested in the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem. Now, whether it was destroyed, stolen, or moved, this remains and will remain hidden as a mystery until I find it. So this is my next big project, because if I find the Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments in it, it'll definitely be a historic.
Oh, my
moment.
God, amazing. Now, how do you even begin a journey like that?
Well, you know, I doused for oil fields successfully, for gold. You know, I became the Mexican president awarded me a Mexican passport because I found oil for Pemex, for the Mexican National Oil Company.
Oil company, yeah.
So I will douse for it. I have an idea where it is. And, George, you're going to get on a plane and fly to Israel, and we'll open the ark together.
Yeah, I may do that. And next, then, you're going to look for Noah's ark.
Well, yeah, we all know that it's on Mount Ararat in Turkey.
It's up there somewhere. Yeah.
It's up there somewhere. Do we have time for a few more questions?
Yeah, let's take some calls here. We've got about 7-8 minutes left. Let's go to Blair in Sedona, Arizona. Blair, welcome to the program. You're on with Uri Geller.
Thank you, George. Uri, with your personal UFO theory, embrace author Jacques Vallée's opinion that this UFO phenomena acts like a thermostat, you know, kicking in from time to time, guiding our consciousness upward, yet always just out of reach to our full grasp as material beings.
You know what? I absolutely believe that. Jack Vallée is a genius, and he's written quite a few books. Yes, I do believe that to a point. Remember that we, as humans, we're only, 250,000, 300,000 years old. Maybe we're star children. Maybe a UFO crashed on planet Earth a million years ago and we crawled out of it. And it's endless because the universe is infinite. So anything and everything is possible in the universe. Of course there are extraterrestrials. I mean, if there weren't extraterrestrials in the universe, what a waste of space that would be. There are quite a few different, not a few, a multitude of extraterrestrial intelligences and species from inner space, from outer space. There is no doubt that we're being visited. And the government knows it. So that's my answer. Let's take another call. Thanks for calling.
We've got Jeff in Santa Rosa, California now. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hey, guys. This is my first time talking to somebody in Israel. And to the people of Israel, I'm very glad that my voice and consciousness is echoing across your lands. Yuri.
Thank you.
Yuri, I found a Martian-based colony here in Santa Rosa, California. It actually covers all of California. It's off the coastline. And I'm wondering if there are hibernating Martians in the underground part of the bases. And also, I'd like to ask you about the humanoid ET robots that are garrisoned on Earth and their air support, if I may.
Okay, listen. Like I said before, there is nothing I do not believe in. Nothing. Everything is possible under this vast universe that has billions and billions and billions and billions of galaxies, and it's endless, infinity. So your questions, I mean, I wish I knew the answers, but I will never say, no, I don't believe that, because I'm open-minded. I want to believe that everything and anything is possible and is happening. So, hey, maybe you are onto something very exciting. Who knows? I don't know, because I'm not near you, I'm not with you, I haven't experienced what you discovered, but I'm a believer. So, yeah, that's a possibility. Listen, every movie that so far you've seen, and you've seen, George, all the science fiction films, they're all going to happen someday.
Yep.
Everything that you see in movie land today will happen, whether it's from the space of the 2001 Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick, Arthur C. Clarke, to the humanoids, to the robots, to the artificial intelligence. I mean, telepathy. Look at telepathy. Superhumans with ability to read anyone's mind could be real by 2038. I mean, if you ever wanted to read someone's thought, you know, wait two more decades and you might be able to do that. You know, superhumans with the ability to communicate using just their brains could be walking the earth within two decades. Just imagine, can you fathom that? And this comes from surgeons and scientists. You know, we are going to be implanted with little tiny chips that you can hardly see, the grain of a sand that size, and it'll connect us to the internet. We'll be able to communicate through brain power through the internet. So, yeah, I am a believer. Okay, let's take another call.
Let's go to Hawaii. Carlos is with us now on Oahu. Hi, Carlos.
Aloha, George.
You too, my friend.
Back in the 1970s, you and I worked on several different operations, projects together. Do you recall?
Tell us more. Tell us more, Carlos.
Tell us more. What do you mean?
When you verified that that was, in fact, Lee Harvey Oswald, when he came out and he you verified that it was him, the Air Force intelligence officer who also co-signed on that verification, do you remember who that was? That was me.
I do remember, but these are very sensitive issues that I cannot...
No, Uri, listen to me. I have the clearances. I can talk about whatever I choose to talk about, wherever, whenever, to whomever. So
okay,
I will go ahead and verify.
Give us a major point of this call.
My major point is that you verified that Lee Harvey Oswald was alive after the assassination. that he was.
Are you asking me that?
No, I'm not asking. I'm telling you. I saw him.
Okay, that's very
bad. Here in Honolulu.
Listen, Carlos, I want to speak to you more, and I'm asking you to get on my website, find my email address, which is uri@urigeller.com. Email me, because I want to communicate with you about this. I'm not on this phone, not on this program. There are sensitive issues here that are still top secret that we really cannot talk about. Okay? Let's take another call. I'll be waiting to hear from you, Carlos.
We're going to run out of time, Uri. We only got about 30 seconds left. So,
okay,
again,
so
go ahead.
Let me just say goodbye to everyone. I'm sending you a big hug, a huge kiss, lots of positive energy to everyone in America, to everyone around the world. I love you all. Thanks very much for tuning in to listening to me and to George, of course. And if you want to stay in touch with me, get on my website. It's urigeller.com, www.urigeller.com. If you want to email me, my email address is on the website. Fascinating documentaries, all free. Most of my books are free to read on my website. George, I love you very much, and hopefully I'll be on your show soon.
Absolutely, Uri. And go find the Ark of the Covenant. What a discovery that will be. We'll be back in a moment with Mitch Horowitz on Coast to Coast AM.